morning and amen. You guys can have a seat. You guys can go ahead and have a seat as well. Got jokes. Well, good morning and welcome to Replicate Church. My name is Jared. I'm the pastor here. Man, we're excited for what God is doing here. We're excited you came and worship with us this morning. We're excited that the weird fence and the fact that you look like you're driving into a compound did not scare you away this morning. And we're just excited for what God is doing here. We got some special things lined up this week, and we're going to take a break from our series in 2 Corinthians. So some of you can just take a big sigh of relief that no 2 Corinthians this morning. But a couple things before we get into God's word this morning. Our big kids are going to be in here this morning. We just felt like today was a day they needed to be with us and worship with us and hear the word was going to be spoken today. So, hey, when kids are in church, you're going to hear noises and it's going to be okay. So there's noises when there's not kids in church. And so we're cool with that this morning. But a couple of things. So just if you weren't here last week and you're a regular attender or a member, we made the announcement that we are staying in this location at least for the next year. Yeah, so it's different. We're adjusting. It's smaller, but it's a blessing from the Lord. And if you need to know the reasons why, you can see me after, and I'll be glad to tell you. But just I say that again to remind you that as we try to make this place a little more less like a pole barn, just to have mercy and grace, and as we work about, you know, traffic at the front door, traffic with kids check in, as we kind of work through all that, just mercy and grace. All right. We're learning just as fast as you guys are. All right. And so just wanted to get you guys updated on that. But so my wife and I just got back and our whole family just got back from special needs retreat this week. And so our spiritual tank, our emotional tank, our physical tank is full today. And so what I was reminded of this week, and because we haven't been since COVID, was, man, when you get a room full of worshipers of all different abilities, you get a tiny glimpse of heaven. Yeah. Like Jesus is in the room, and when you see people that can worship, that don't have words, that can't raise their hands, that can't dance, but you see the joy of the Lord in their face, man. And so you guys have heard us talk about this over the last couple of weeks, that we want to be a church, and we feel like we are a church that is called to minister to families that are affected by disability. And that's just where God has equipped us and called us. And I feel like a lot of you feel called to that as well, based on the amount of people that are going to the training in a couple of weeks, all right, and just the input I've gotten from you guys. But if you've also been around Replicate long enough, you know one of the reasons we chose Replicate as the name is because we want to be a church that replicates disciples of Christ. And those disciples can then replicate themselves, right? And so part of that is we're going to be a church that plants churches. We're not a church that wants to just grow our kingdom, but the kingdom of God. And so part of that is planting churches. And we want to be involved in church planting, whether that's us sending out missionaries to plant churches or partnering with other church plants. So this morning, we have Peter Dublin this morning with his church they have planted in Pensacola. I'm going to let him share a little bit about that with you guys. But we're kind of going to have a little bit of a panel discussion this morning. And so it's going to be a little different than what you're used to. But I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to invite Peter to come up, introduce himself and his guests with us him this morning. And we're just going to go from there. So it's going to be different. It's not going to be what you're used to. And it's okay. But I have a feeling if you pay attention, if you just keep your focus, you're going to be blessed this morning. You're going to be able to see the Spirit of God move in this room. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship you this morning. God, we thank you that you are great. God, that there is none greater than you. We thank you that out of your mercy and kindness, you've extended grace to us. You have offered us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. God, I pray for those this morning that are in this room that do not yet know your Son Jesus as Savior, that have yet to receive that gift of salvation, Lord, that today would be the day they made the decision to follow Jesus. And for those of us in this room, whether we're a part of this church or another church, if we claim your name, if we say we are a follower of Jesus, God, I pray that we would live like we were a follower of Jesus, and that today we would be challenged in our faith, we would be moved further along in our faith than before we walked in here this morning. God, that your Spirit would just stir inside of us. You would meet each of us right where we're at in our walk with you this morning. God, that your Holy Spirit would do what only he can do this morning. God, and we just surrender this time to you this morning. We praise in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to hand it over to Peter Dublin this morning, and he's going to introduce himself, and we're kind of go from there.
All right.
Now, are you going to be asking any questions, or do you want me to ask this question?
Okay. Let's get you out in front of the projector.
I'm going to just close the projector off just for a second, so it doesn't blind those who will be up here. Thank you, Pastor Jared, for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you, Replicate Church, for welcoming us here. It is a joy. We came, the last time my son and I came, you guys were meeting in the other building. And so we got to say hi this morning to all the basketball players over there this morning and bless them in Jesus' name, and then make our way over here this morning. If I'd only listened to my wife, we wouldn't have done that. We'd have come straight in. This is my wife, Charity, and she's over here interpreting. Micah is almost nine, and Karis over here, she's 5 years old. And we are the Dublin family, and we are missionaries with and to the deaf here in Pensacola, here in the United States and around the world. We believe that God has called us to reach here, near, and far. And it's not necessarily in that order. It's all the same time. It's happening. And so we're excited to be here and share this morning with you. I'm going to ask a few of our deaf brothers and sisters to come on up. I'm going to let you hear from them first. I think one of the biggest needs is for, as the body of Christ, specifically the hearing body of Christ, is we need to be able to listen and be able to hear from those who don't oftentimes get to be heard. And so I'd like to be able to just give them an opportunity to share this morning a bit of their stories. And for those who are signing impaired, I will interpret for you so you catch everything that's being said. Because that is the truth. In our world, those who cannot communicate and those who cannot sign, we would call, not really, but in jest, we'd call you the signing impaired group. So this morning, you get to be the minority. As you experience the other side of what it's like for our deaf brothers and sisters, okay? So we'll open it up. I'll let you guys introduce yourself when we ask the questions, okay? So I got a couple of questions here. I'd like for, if you guys would just go ahead and start by sharing what it was like coming to faith, maybe a little bit of your experience growing up, and just share with us that part of your story. We'd appreciate it. Hi, everyone. My name is Patsy Rollins. I was born deaf. My mom had rubella. And I grew up with my family. I did not attend a deaf school growing up. I did go to a regular hearing school and was mainstreamed. I had an access through an interpreter there. But while I was at home, I was forbidden to use sign language. My parents didn't know my language. I wish that they had taken the opportunity to learn. I had one older sister who knew some, but not really fluent. And it was a struggle to understand what was being said in my household. There were times of oppression, even in my own home. I remember my mom would take me, we'd go to different churches. We went to a Mormon church, we went to a missionary church, we went to a Jehovah's Witness church, we went to a Baptist church. There were so many different churches, and even at the Baptist church, I was baptized there, but I didn't really grasp and understand fully what it meant to follow Jesus. I was just following my parents. I didn't have that understanding. Communication was a huge barrier in our home. My mom would always use her voice, and she would always speak for me. And so there were times where I would say yes, that I understood what was going on, or she would say, yes, my daughter understands what's going on. And she was proud of me because she thought that I really understood, but really the truth behind it all, I didn't understand. She would tell others, but she never asked me personally, do you understand what's being said? Do you understand what's happening? And so She did everything for me. She spoke for me. She did things for me. I wish there was that realization of just asking me, do I really understand? But that never happened. Around 11 or 12 years old, we moved. And then it was about 14 or 15 years old, an interpreter came to our house. I had no idea who this person was, but I knew that they knew sign language, which felt really good. She invited me to church. And so I started attending a church where the sign language interpreter, there was access, some access, but I would still just sit there and I really wouldn't grasp everything that was being said. So I found myself a lot of times just daydreaming in church, waiting for the time to go home. I was used to following what other people wanted for me instead of it being a personal decision in my own life. And so that's what I did. The interpreter would ask questions. The interpreter would not ask questions, but then at the end, the same thing was asked, do you understand? And so I felt like I just had to give them the, sure, I got it, but really the truth was still that I didn't understand what was being said as a young person. I know I should have paid attention more. But it was then when they asked, do you want to get baptized? I was like, well, sure, why not? But really, understanding the meaning of what it meant to take that step of obedience was not there. I had a friend of mine, Kim Joyce, who went to a college, and she invited me to go with her where there was a deaf program out at Tennessee Temple University. And so I thought, this was a great place, an opportunity to go and attend and start learning sign language and start learning more about the Bible. So it was through these classes at college I began to understand the timeline and of Scripture and what happened, what Jesus did. I began to come to a more of a clear understanding. And it was really neat because I got to be around more deaf who I could communicate with. I had a lot of more depth and relationship that were there. It was there I met my first husband, and it was there that I really understood what salvation was, but I never made that personal decision to follow Christ. Fast forward, though, years later, my husband and I went through a divorce, and I prayed that the Lord would guide me. Lord, show me your will. What would you have for me? And he's brought us now into this house church, but it was about probably 7 or 8 years ago when I would be driving back and forth from work. It was during that commute that I began to really, really wonder and contemplate and felt the Holy Spirit just really working in my heart, saying, you've never made that choice. You've never made that personal decision to follow me, to accept me. And so I began to remember the things that I learned and the pastor that I met who explained things to me about salvation. But I never confessed Christ as my own Lord. And during that commute, it's probably like, again, it was 7, maybe 8 years or so ago, I made that commitment to follow Christ and said, I want you, Lord, to be my Savior. And I said, I'm not going to put this off anymore. I asked the Lord to come into my heart while in the car, while I was driving to and from work. It was during that time, also, like I would see other folks in my family that would be saying things, and I'd ask my mom, Mom, what's being said? And I was most oftentimes told, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. It's too hard to explain it to you now. And so most oftentimes I was just sent off to play while the family was gathering together. And that was something that I felt trapped in my life. I felt like I couldn't have those conversations with my family. At school I could, but at home I couldn't. And so I did feel a lot of that oppression at home and like I wasn't fully accepted for who I was. And that was my life experience growing up. I went through a lot of depression growing up. And coming up on October 2nd will be the 1 year anniversary of when I took that step of obedience and was baptized after receiving Lord as my Savior. And so I'm excited to celebrate that. Hi, everyone. I feel short sitting on the stool, so I'm going to just stand up here. My name's Ricky. This is my sign name. I was born in Missouri and moved to Florida and have lived here ever since. I was born hearing, but became sick with meningitis, and that caused me to become deaf. Everyone in my family is hearing. I'm the only deaf person in my family. And so communication was also a barrier in my family. No one learned American Sign Language to communicate with me. They ended up putting me in the dorms at Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, which is where I went to school. We call it FSDB. That is down in St. Augustine, Florida. And so from middle school and high school, I spent my time there. So I felt like the dorm staff almost became like second parents to me because they knew me, they could talk to me, I could talk to them, we could have conversations that were not just surface level. And that made a big impact on my heart. How I came to know Jesus, that's quite a story. I had no, while I was at Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, they took us to a church, a Lutheran church, but I was a high schooler. I wasn't paying attention. I was goofing around. Didn't really understand what was being said in the services. After I graduated high school, when I moved to Pensacola, Florida, came to know Peter, came to know the group there, and came to a really in-depth, clear understanding because he knew my language. He was able to talk to me in conversation and very explain that clearly. So it was 4 years ago I accepted Christ and was baptized. And I'm so thankful to be here today to share this time with you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Susie Onderdonk. I live in Mobile, Alabama. I was born and raised in Mississippi. I grew up in an Episcopal church my whole life. My parents, like has been said already, never learned sign language because they were told to encourage me to learn how to read lips instead of learning sign language to communicate. And so as a very confused and frightened little girl at the age of 3, my parents dropped me off at a school in the D.C. area that focused on teaching you how to read lips, which is what we call an oral school or oral learning method of learning how to speak. My parents still took me to church on Sundays, and while I could see these images of Jesus, and I knew that there was something important about this man that was on the cross, I never really fully understood the meaning behind it. I didn't know who Jesus was, what he did for me. I got married to a deaf man, and who was part of another church that was a deaf church. And there, the deaf priest was able to help explain to me more about Jesus. And that was the key that helped me really understand about Jesus, was having that access there in my own heart language. My husband and I did end up divorcing. And after that was finalized, in my room one day, I laid down and gave my life to Christ. And that was 30 years ago, back in 1993. And October 2nd will also be the year anniversary for which I took that step of obedience and was baptized. It was such an emotional and powerful moment in my life 1 year ago. So thank you. Now, if you could, Patsy, Ricky, and Susie, as a deaf person, could you share with Replicate just one thing that you think that it's important for them to know as they're here now listening to you? What would that one thing be? Patsy's saying, I would say I really would encourage you to include us as deaf people in those conversations, in your activities. Invite the deaf community to be a part of it. You know, I think back of my mom and the struggles that I had with her. You know, she never really confronted me to have those conversations, and she couldn't sign, so that was probably part of it. So she would try to write back and forth, but really, man, it was tough. I would say to that if given the opportunity, you would see that we're the same as everyone else here in this room. The only thing is that we can't hear. And so oftentimes we're labeled with being disabled, but we don't really see ourselves as disabled. We just can't hear. We're just like you. And we do want to be involved. If given that opportunity, I think deaf people would be involved a lot more than what they have been in the past. So instead of neglecting the deaf community, we'd say include us in those conversations. You know, only 2% of the deaf in the world know about Jesus. And so I'd encourage you to include us in those conversations, and don't speak for us. We can speak for ourselves, unlike my mom and the experience that I had with her. Ricky's saying, I would also add to that, I would say don't underestimate us. Like Patsy said, we're not really disabled. We just can't hear. We can do the exact same thing as you can. We have blood just in our bodies, just as you have running through your veins. If given the opportunity, man, I tell you what, as a deaf person and a deaf people, we will thrive. And you know what? Something that's not recognized a lot of times is that God's given you spiritual gifts. We have those spiritual gifts as well, if given the opportunity to exercise those gifts as well, is something that I would say. I would say that to recognize that as deaf people, we learn differently than what hearing people do. We process information differently. Typically, we're very communal in nature. And so being able to have language and having conversations in our heart language and being able to be in that group setting so we can all share and discuss together is the best environment for us to learn. Thank you very much, everyone. So this is how you clap in sign language. Let me just show you. Because we're not listening to this, but we can see this. And then I'd also like to teach you the sign for amen for this morning. And then for future reference, when pastor's up here preaching, and you might be one of those people who are shy to shout it out, maybe you could sign it out loud. But here's the sign for amen. Charlie, you want to show them? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, let me just share. How many of you believe, if you believe that the Bible is real and alive, sign amen? There's a few that didn't. Okay, Pastor, we got to get some work here on that one. No, if you believe that the Word of God is truth and is changing lives today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I believe that to be true. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that we were made in the workmanship in Christ Jesus. And not only were we made in that, in Christ Jesus, He prepared for us good works to walk in before the foundation of the world. And so today, this morning, we're doing what we were called, those good works that were prepared for us to do. We're doing that this morning because we believe that one of those things is to raise the awareness in the hearing church that there is a mission field right in our backyard that we have overlooked for centuries, that they're waiting for us to just say, we want to hear from you. We want to engage with you. And let me open this. There we go. And so in Psalms, we're told that we're knitted uniquely in our mother's womb. And that's my story. I grew up, let's go ahead and go to that next slide. I grew up in a home where my parents knew sign language because their best friend had a son born deaf. So my parents learned sign language, his parents learned sign language, and when my brother and I were born, everyone was already fluent in the language, so it was a natural progression of English and sign language as we grew up. So we were fluent by the time we were 6 years old. We were signing in our church by the age of 11 and 12 years old when he wasn't there. Bless him. We didn't want to put him through all that. And then that led to my parents answering the call to full-time missions in Trinidad in the West Indies, where we got to serve in a church plant, teaching the nationals how to do what you're seeing here. This model of ministry is what we would call an interpreted model, where the deaf can come to a hearing church and have access to what's being done or said in the hearing church, because now there's access through the interpreter. So that's an interpreted model of ministry. A deaf ministry would be where you have the deaf actually leading and exercising those gifts, like what Ricky was talking about. So there is a difference of an interpreted ministry of model. There's a deaf ministry of model, and then there's what we have, where we have just a completely deaf church. So this is just one of the many steps that God used to prepare me. For the next slide, you'll see this incredible team that I am now that we're now a part of. And that is the Deaf Catalyst team with Converge International Ministries. We onboarded with them back in 2020, and it was an easy decision. So there are several deaf team members up here, and the others are interpreters. And we all have come together for this purpose. Our vision at Converge, and the next slide you'll see is this. Well, you might not be able to see that. It does say that we are asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached generation, among every least reached people group in our generation right now. You see, Converge began to realize that of all the least reached people groups, only 3% of your missionaries today are heading to those unreached places around the world. 3%. So the laborers in the place where the harvest is the widest are the fewest laborers that are going out. And so that Converge's primary focus is unreached people groups or least reached people groups. You guys familiar with the term UPG, which is unreached people group? If not, there's an unreached, unengaged people group, which is a UUPG. And so let me just show you some. This next slide is a picture from IMB. It's one of their graphs that show the progress that has been made among unreached people groups. You see the red on the screen are those that are unreached still. So by a large portion of the world has been reached, but there's still quite a few places over here. So what has happened, unfortunately, though, because deaf have not been considered in this equation, what has happened is places that have been marked off as reached, in truth, actually looks like this. Let's look at this next slide. This is the deaf in our world. We have 70 million deaf people in our world today, comprising of the world's largest unreached people group in our world today. And so we're looking at 98% don't know the name of Jesus Christ. Patsy said that a little while ago. You met part of 2% of the world's population that know the name of Jesus Christ. And that is what we have given our lives to, is to help seeing deaf disciples raised up who will make deaf disciples because they can do it so much better than we can. And so we want to equip and empower and raise up disciples within our home so that they're going out and they're following the commission in Matthew 28, where it's to go into all the world and to all the nations. And to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So here are some things. Let me just share with you a couple of things that we are excited about that you might be that you might find fascinating to know. So in 2020, during COVID, when it just really hit and everybody's hunkering down and people couldn't go places, we celebrated virtually the completion of the very first Bible in American Sign Language. 2020. So yeah, right? I mean, that's something to be excited about for sure. That process took about 40 years to complete. Partly because the time in which it was being done, sign language was still not even recognized as official language. So to even in that translation process, to say sign language is how do you get the equivalent of a written spoken language into a sign language, there was a lot of barriers to be had to overcome. But 40 years later, we celebrated that. And so I'd like to just take a couple minutes and show you, because this can tell you better than what I could the impact of that Bible.
There's a part of me that just wants to cry. I feel so inspired because there are many deaf people who can now see and understand who God is because of sign language.
There are so many sign languages that do not have a Bible translated in their heart language. We can celebrate Deaf Mission's accomplishment, but I cannot forget those who have yet to see. We must continue on in this important work.
I know we had a virtual celebration last year, but to see everyone and physically experience our coming together and celebrating gave me hope. They persevered, even though I'm sure it was a struggle. But God was there. God never gave up, and Deaf Missions never gave up. So that inspires me, knowing that we can move forward. We can proceed. This is just the beginning. This is not the end.
Understanding who he really is in their own language. At the same time, those who maybe don't know Jesus, they are seeing this for the first time, and they're starting to get a glimpse of who he is and are starting to find their identity in Christ. We've seen a lot of change in many deaf people because they're seeing the Bible in their own heart language.
I want to sincerely say thank you.
That's good, guys. Thank you. The rest of that, the CEO of Deaf Mission goes on to thank everybody who had a part in making that happen. I just wanted you to see a glimpse of the impact of the few people that you got to see and what it's happening now. So we're talking just 3 years ago, the completion of the very first Bible in American Sign Language. And there was a couple of shots there where you might have got to see the Bible in sign language there on the side. It's all in an app. So it's not anything that you're going to take to read. There's no words to it. It's all in sign language. We are super excited about that. We're also praising God because what that has done is now that has helped accelerate translation work in other sign languages. Sign language is not universal. I wish it was. There are about 400 sign languages that we know of. What this has done is, this is from one of our partners at Door International. We've got so far 36 languages where something has been translated and published, and we've also got about 15 other languages where something has been started, but we have 322 languages with no access to the Bible as of right now. And so that is a big effort of a lot of our partners, is to see the Bible completed in these other languages so that the deaf around the world have access to the gospel. And we get to have a part of that. Our Deaf Catalyst team is a part of that. We have partnered with Deaf Missions. If you would go to the next slide. How many of you have ever heard of or seen the Jesus film? Yeah, you guys are familiar with that. This is a film that billions of people around the world have seen and have come to faith in Jesus Christ because it's been translated and it's been interpreted in so many different languages. Well, Deaf Missions, the same one who did the translation work on the Bible, has just finished filming the equivalent to the Jesus film. However, this is a film that is for the deaf and is by the deaf, which has caused a buzz in the deaf world. Because we're talking about from production team all being deaf, to the editing team, to the actors, everyone being deaf, which now is creating this excitement amongst the deaf in the deaf world that I heard one guy say, I now know what hearing people feel like when they think of a certain movie and an actor that maybe they met one time, because now I have people that I know that are in this movie that I get it now. And so our Deaf Catalyst team has an opportunity to develop the curriculum that's going to go with the Jesus film coming out in April of next year, which it'll be released for the first time. Can I just tell you, we are praying for 1 million people, deaf people, to watch this video. We're praying that 100,000 deaf people will have life change as a result of this video. And then we're also praying for 1,000 small groups to be launched in homes across the U.S. and around the world to go through this curriculum together, because we believe that this is going to be the spark. This is the spark we believe that's going to cause a great spiritual awakening to happen where it's never happened before. I would tell my pastor before over at Olive in Pensacola, because he's always praying for revival. Almost every time he gets up in a pulpit, he's saying, Lord, he's praying for revival. And so we should. But I have to oftentimes remind him that I will continue to pray for revival for my hearing brothers and sisters. But in the deaf world, we're praying for an awakening to take place. That's never happened. But you can see from 2020, now we have a Bible. Now we're about to have the Jesus film. I'm telling you, God is on the move like he's never been on the move before when it comes to reaching the deaf for the kingdom of God, because he doesn't want any to perish. Doesn't matter your label. Doesn't matter what you can or can't do. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And so we are seeing people come together. We're seeing collaboration among organizations that we've never seen before. We're seeing churches say, we want to be part of what God is doing like we've never seen before. And so we are so thrilled to be even have a part of this right here, of the Jesus film that's happening, coming up. And then as was shared, the next slide, I don't know if you heard it, but there's a lot of trauma that has, a lot of heart wounds. Right? Think of being a three-year-old being dropped off at a school and having no understanding why you're being dropped off, because your parents can't communicate. I've heard stories. I have friends who were tortured because they picked up their hands to communicate at school. Not only were their hands smacked with a ruler, not only were they forced to use their voice, but they were even held underwater. We're talking cigarette burns. We're talking, in a lot of countries, if you're deaf, oftentimes you're considered to have an evil spirit somehow attached to you because you're not like everyone else. If you're in a country where Hinduism and reincarnation is part of that belief system, well, you somehow earned that deafness, that disability. You should be that way. And so then they're outcast. And so because of that, there has been so much trauma and hurt caused by the hearing community trying to fix them instead of just accepting them, intentionally and unintentionally. And I would say the church has been a part of the unintentional part of causing hurt to our deaf friends and families in our communities. And so as in John 13:35, where we're told that they will know we are his disciples by what? our love for one another. And so that is our vision. That's our goal, is to make disciples. We have a team that I showed earlier that is spread out all across the U.S., and so everybody's engaging differently. Some are engaging in a traditional church model, which would be like this. Some are also engaging deaf through virtual space, which is a huge area that we are ministering to people right now. And then also the simple church model, which is what we're doing at our house. You see, when we look back at Acts, when you look at the world not having access to the gospel, it was in homes that people began to meet, that relationships were developed that then changed the world. And so because the deaf are in that same state, we've just decided, let's take it back to the book of Acts. Let's follow the model that we've been given when there was no gospel, when the people needed to be reached, and relationships were the focus of how you got that done. And so we're focusing on a very few people in order to reach the masses. We're going deep in relationship with a few people, so in the Holy Spirit, we believe, will take care of the breadth of that. And so that's how we're doing it here in Pensacola. Since we, you could go to the next slide. There we go. And that's how we're doing it. And then the next slide shows, so a couple of them referenced that October 2nd will be 1 year since they were baptized. And we have seen that since launching our church on February 6th of last year, the biggest hurdle was no longer communication, because everybody could talk in sign language. The biggest hurdle was trust. And so while we tend to think in a hearing context that language is the biggest barrier, it's not. It's trust. And with investing relationally, God has allowed trust to be built, and so we really do have a tight-knit family of believers that come together every Sunday, and we baptize each other. Those who are discipling one another, we believe that, hey, if you were in the part of that discipling process, when it comes time for baptism, you get to be part of the baptism too, because when the Great Commission was given, it wasn't given to just the clergy. It wasn't given to just the higher ups. It was given to us all to participate in. And I tell you, if you've never had an opportunity to baptize someone who you've been discipling, it's the best experience ever. So we've been able to experience some of that at our house church. We just got back from a mission trip. We've been to Togo, West Africa, last year, working with a deaf disciple and pouring into him. This year, we got to go. We were asked to come to visit on the island of... how many of you ever heard of Mauritius Island? Wow, a couple of you. Wow, I'm surprised. I had never heard of that place. Think Southern Africa, think Madagascar, and then there's a tiny little island with about... that is really heavy populated, 1.3 million people, and about 7,000 to 12,000 deaf people on this island. And we were told about the very first... deaf believer on this island. And so go to the next slide there. So we were called as the Deaf Catalyst team to come down. We had conversations with a 19-year-old boy named Christopher. And I saw the Holy Spirit do what we've seen in Scripture. The Holy Spirit leads into that understanding and that enlightenment. And I saw that happen in ways greater than I've ever seen it in my entire life. When we sat down with Christopher, this guy got it. And I knew it wasn't because me and Missy, my deaf teammate, it wasn't anything that we were doing. The Holy Spirit was working in this kid's heart. And he grasped it. He got it. And he said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I want to be baptized. And so the lady that's here in the picture who was discipling him and learning sign language, she baptized him. Get this, the very next night, this kid didn't skip a beat. He started walking in obedience right away. We had about 15 or 16 deaf people that we had met come for a party, which they had never had a party thrown just for them ever in their life. So they came to this party. We had good food. We played games. And then the gospel was shared through a testimony of what my life was like before and what God did to my life now, how God has influenced my life. And Christopher shared his story and shared things. He shared his struggle with alcohol. He shared his struggle with drugs. And he shared his struggle with even his relationships that he had been in. And he had never shared that with anybody in his life. And the first time he shared that was with a group of his peers. And when he shared that he had decided to follow Christ and was baptized, and that he had given his life to Christ, another young man in that group, Yeshdev, 24 years old, said, "Man, I can relate to that. My life has been just like that. I've had those same problems, and I'm tired of it, and I want to give my life to Christ too. Now I know who Jesus is, and I want to follow Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the Hindu gods. I want to follow the one true God." And both of them, I'll tell you, both of them, in just the time that we were there, prior to that, were having nightmares, were having shadows in their room. Okay, we're talking some spiritual attacks happening. Since they accepted Christ, they said, "They're gone. I haven't seen a shadow. I've not had a nightmare since Jesus has come into my heart." And so just an amazing story of what God is doing. And Christopher is part of the Deaf Olympics team. So Christopher gets to travel to different countries and participate. And he's already thinking, "Man, when I go, I get to tell people from other countries about Jesus too." So God is doing a great work in this young man's life. And that's just something that I want to share with you because it's exciting. We believe that on this island very well may be the beginning of the gospel movement we've been praying for. And it might also serve as a hub to reach that region of the world because these guys are on it. And when you have guys on fire like that with the Holy Spirit empowering them, man, the sky's the limit. There's nothing that can stop them because greater is he that is in us than he who's in the world. And lastly, I know my time is running out here. So the last thing, if you go to the next slide, just in case you're interested or want to know how can I get involved, I wanted to give you just a couple of things how you could get involved. And the biggest thing, I'll be honest, the biggest need right now is we need prayer warriors. We need people who will come alongside us and pray. If you would go to the next slide, if you have your phones, and if you'd like to join up and to join us for prayer, you're more than welcome to. That'll take you to a page where you can sign up to join us monthly for our deaf prayer gathering. We meet on Thursday evenings virtually, and we have people from all over the U.S., around the world, mostly deaf people, but churches or pastors and churches are starting to get involved and pray alongside of us because we know that before a gospel movement is going to really break out, there's going to be a move of prayer first because of the strongholds that have been there for so long that have to be broken. That's going to be through prayer first. And so we're praying for a gospel movement, for a spiritual awakening, more deaf leaders to be raised up. And then even we're, another big part is for our Deaf Catalyst team to get to where we're 100% fully funded so that we can do this full time. The next slide is do like you guys have had us here today. So this is what we encourage churches. Let us come and share in the church setting. You could, if God put it on your heart to join our monthly partnership team, then that's something too. But a real practical step is to start learning the language of the people who are right here in your backyard. And so if that's something you guys are interested in, we'd love to help come alongside you, even in learning some sign language as well. And then together, the last picture here shows that this is the sign together. Over here, together, when the body of Christ unites, we will reduce the 98% of people who don't know Jesus, and the 2% that has been that way since I was a kid will change from 2% to 10% to 20% to 50% of the world's deaf population coming to know and follow Jesus. But that can only happen together, and so we do need your help. And thank you for this time to share.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Patsy, Ricky, and Susie. Man, there's so many things I want to say, I could say, but I don't want to ruin the moment. I'm going to let I'm going to marinate on it. I want you guys to marinate on it. But gosh, there's just so much there. So we're just going to move into a time of worship. I know this is not a normal Sunday, but if you feel like you need to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning, we're going to have a team in the back wearing yellow lanyards that can pray with you, that can talk to you about next steps in following Christ or next steps. If you want to get baptized, things like that, they're there to meet with you, to pray with you. But I mean, we're going to take some time. We're just going to pray over Peter and what they're doing in Pensacola and what's happening worldwide. And we're just going to have a time of worship and response. And then Peter and his crew will be here after our gathering. If you want to talk to them, I'm sure they'd be happy to answer any questions. Something we are going to do, we're going to partner with Peter and his church in the coming months to offer an 8-week ASL training. We're going to host it. So if you're interested in learning ASL, because, you know, How can they know the gospel if they don't first hear the gospel? And how can we share the gospel if we don't know how to speak it in their language? Amen. So we're going to offer that. We're going to partner with these guys. We're going to work out some dates. It'll be 8 weeks, right, Peter? And then so anybody that's interested, man, we're going to probably host that at the church office. And so we don't have an official sign-up sheet today. You guys get with me. We'll have another one out next week, and we'll advertise it again. But just be thinking about that. But we're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to respond. So I invite you to stand as we pray and worship if you're able. Heavenly Father, there's so many things running through my heart and my mind in this moment. God, I thank you for Peter and Charity and his family, Lord, as they have just said yes to your call. Lord, it is such a big step of faith to leave the familiar for the unfamiliar, to step out into the unknown, and to just trust that you know better than we know. And God, so I just praise you for their faithfulness, and I praise you for your faithfulness towards them, God. And we just ask that you would bless this work that you're doing, not just in Pensacola, but around the world, Lord, that you would just continue to open up doors for the gospel to go where it's never been before, to go to a people where it's never been before, Father God, that we would see that awakening amongst that people, Father God. We would see the fruits of labor. We would just see strongholds broken, lives transformed, Lord, that we would see the peace of Christ enter a people that have never known the peace of Christ. Lord, and as a body of believers gathered today, Lord, we just come to you in unison and in prayer for that. God, and we lift up this church as well. We just pray that we would be a body of Christ that is in tune with your Holy Spirit, that we were obedient to your calling on this church, just like Peter has been obedient to the calling you've placed on his heart and their church and what you've called them to do. God, that we would be in line with your will, that we would not step outside of your will. Lord, so whatever needs to happen to make that happen, God, if you need to prune us, if you need to purify us, if you need to tweak some things, we invite your Holy Spirit to do that this morning, to get down on the heart level, to change what needs to be changed, so we can love you and love your people, so we can go to the ends of the earth, so we can be those ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, to not just some, but to all. And God, so we just surrender this time to you this morning. We give you our worship. We pray and ask. It is a sweet, sweet aroma to you this morning. Acknowledging that we were never meant to do this thing alone. God, we are called to be followers of Christ in community with other followers of Christ. And we're only successful when we're working together with our giftings as one body for your kingdom. So I do pray for those this morning that maybe are trying to still do this thing by themselves, Lord. God, that you would break down those walls that are keeping them from being a part of the body. And I pray for those in this room that are still pushing Jesus away, that they're still keeping him at arm's length. God, I pray that you would remove those veils, you would remove those walls, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would just illuminate your word in their heart this morning, that things would just click. They would have an understanding they've never had before. They would know that your word is true. God, that you love them and care for them. You sent your son Jesus to die for them so they might have salvation and have eternal life, Father God. And I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we just pray these things this morning in Jesus' name.